Mother Nature has a lot to say to us. Sometimes you doubt, in your struggle for survival, her maternal instinct. Like all mothers, Mother Nature is a teacher. First, it brings us face to face with insoluble mystery. I want to know more than a cell system. I want to know more than a skeleton. I want to consider the mystery of life. What commands color, shape, and size, and length of days? Who decides that a brown cow eating green grass should give white milk that yields yellow butter? Now, what is this element called energy? Everywhere there is force and spin. Mankind has harnessed more and more of it. We command it to do our work, to lift loads, to pierce darkness, to carry us faster than the speed of light, to convey our voices instantly anywhere. We name it, but we do not understand it. I must respect it. The option is destruction. I touch my ear. Where were the plans drawn? What intelligence devised it? It is an exquisite function. The tiny drum quivers with every sound that strikes it. The receiving facilities are the forerunner of giant antennae that industry has built. I know that sound passes from drum to brain to living consciousness. The ear is deciphering, decoding multiple thousands of messages per day. It does not violate its trust. It never misrepresents to me the sound of the crack of an apple being broken in half as some dulcet tone of an organ. The ear guides me in truth, unerringly. The eye has an even more eloquent testimony. I marvel at the automatic focus. It can adjust instantly from distance to nearness. I marvel at the transmission. The eye registers the scene with camera exactness. It throws upon the screen of the body the print from the negative it has already taken, and in full color projects it upon the consciousness. It is all perfectly synchronized. How was it planned? How was it engineered? How was it put in mass production? I am full of questions. Speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. Can you explain such a thing as consciousness? Why aren't we all holed up in a great coma? I have knowledge. My interests and responses multiply. Some blow, some disturbance of a strange bit of nervous matter in the skull, some terminal disease can change my contact with the universe, and I become less than vegetable. I think. What are the processes that make this possible? How is it that through the action of certain muscles, there is a set in motion waves of sound which transmit what it thinks to the nervous matter which thinks in the skull of another? Can you explain this communication? Where do you trace it? Before you profane, before you sneer, before you brag in independence, sit a moment with Mother Nature. And second, the earth itself teaches humility to every man. From dust you came, sir, and to dust you shall return. Break that cycle and you can stop going to church. The least coveted flower of the field has in it a mystery beyond all that the most powerful microscope and the subtlest chemical tests can reveal. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Do you wish to challenge that statement? I suggest you debate the question with some great corporation dealing in textiles, like DuPont of Delaware or Burlington of North Carolina. The earth says to me, you have so much to learn. Be teachable. Don't be proud. Earth has no place for the Hitlers, the Caesars, the arrogant, the impotent. It swallows and erases the dogmatic who struts and brags and asserts and insists that the latest guess must be of necessity an eternal law of the universe. The true scientist, sir, is a reverent man. The bowels of this planet open for the unbeliever. It is bigger than the evolutionist, the abortionist, the agnostic. It can still devour the chorus of this world, the princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These are they who rebel, who think they are smart enough to talk down to God. The answer to those who become educated beyond their intelligence is, the Lord will show who are his. These enemies disappear, their insults gather dust, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. It's always Mother's Day when you deal with Mother Nature. She has the power to teach any of her children respect. And she will tell you, you never get too old or too advanced to learn. Paul paid deference when he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Third, admire its abounding beauty and productivity. This planet is planned to satisfy my aesthetic hunger as well as mental and physical thirst. I find created in me a thirst for beauty. That will be the agony of hell, a thirst that can never be quenched. It is an eternity without beauty. I am never meant to be the prisoner of boredom, condemned to the dull. All of us should stand and sing, America the Beautiful. Only an inexhaustible creator could keep painting, rearranging, refurbishing, restocking, innovating a small planet so that mankind never wearies of his stay and fights to the last breath to remain. Speak to the earth, it shall teach thee. So said Job, and centuries later, Paul reached the same conclusion. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Mother Nature says to me, God is good. He gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And don't forget the gladness. It is as important as the food. He fills us with food and gladness. Fourth, the earth is a teacher. The stars are so far away. Earth is so near. It teaches me what I sow, I reap. The most important lesson of all lessons. It tells me I ought, and it tells me I ought not. It warns me to prepare or be punished. Mock them if you will, lady, but I ask you, where does the sense of conscience, of duty, of sacrifice, of resurrection arise? They cannot be obliterated. They breed from Mother Earth. They are not the products of nothingness of carbon and phosphorus. Mother Nature raises children to say, I believe. And fifth, you and I are responsible for the lessons Earth teaches us. And there are more and more secrets to discover for those who seek and respect. Mother Nature is a teacher, but she does not force her lessons on unwilling scholars. Earth will teach all of us if we're willing to learn. The tuition is obedience. There are classes for all, and none ever graduate. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now, that is the curriculum for every scientist, every horticulturist, every agriculturist. The correct path is an unswerving dedication to the pursuit of truth and righteousness. Isaiah knew the rapport of the soil. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Never doubt for a second that there is power available to be what you ought to be. That garden speaks to me words of faith. It says to me, behold, I make all things new. That same resurrection power applies to you. I have seen it produce in thousands of lives. I've been a spectator as something new has been born, taken shape, become a thing of beauty. I've seen a preacher take shape out of a drunkard. I've seen a trusted bookkeeper take shape out of a thief. Now that is the answer to the fellow who won't give a person a chance. Behold, I make all things new. You are saved, lady, because God himself wants you to be saved, just as he wants a rose to be a rose. A Roman centurion grasped the principle of faith when he said, trouble not thyself to enter my house, for all things are thy servants to command. Your salvation takes a simple act of trust. Put yourself unconditionally in the hands of God. Now let me give you one example that Darwin noted. There is a plant of the orchid genus, the lower lip of which is hollowed out into a large basin, into which drops of moisture fall from two horns of the flower that project over. And when the basin of the flower is half full, the overflow is drained by a spout on one side of the flower. The top of the lip is so hollowed out, curls over the basin, and is marked by certain fleshy ridges which the bees are fond of gnawing. In doing so, crowding one upon another, they frequently fall into the water below and are obliged to make their exit by the overflow pipe. Now, as they crawl out by this passage, they brush their backs first against a point of the flower, which secretes a thick juice, and then against other points covered with the down or pollen of the flower, so that their backs are covered with it. And when after their escape they visit another flower, or as frequently happens, the same again, and as frequently happens with the same mischance, they make their escape as before. But now their down-covered backs brush against the point of the flower covered with juice. The down is left adhering, and the flower is fertilized. And Darwin says on page 229 in his Origin of Species, and I quote, "The most ingenious man, if he had not witnessed what takes place, could never have imagined what purpose all the parts of the flower served," unquote. Everywhere, mister, there is such testimony. The centurion was right. "For all things are thy servants to command, so ask God now to take over your soul." It's the best of all senses to sense your need of God. It is a sign of spiritual health. That is why this service is alive with desire to meet the Lord at the long, long altar, and you'll find all the company you need in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
This is the time in the meeting when we invite you to talk with the Lord of glory. These are powerful moments, more powerful and more decisive than any board meeting or any convention or any annual meeting of company of stockholders could ever be. You can get decisions here. Mrs. Pearlie Evers, a part of this congregation at Oberland der Ufer, West Germany in Europe, says, "I knelt at the long, long altar with you, Brother Ward. Our daughter had gone to Canada. For 4 years, she tried to get permanent residence. Time after time, she was told by her government officials that there were so many ahead of her. And she was about to head toward Jamaica when the answer came. And I knew at once our petition had received action by a higher power. So ask in faith, Master, we serve thee willingly and with glad hearts. And we thank thee for provision and direction. And glorify thyself in our daily living, in sacraments of baptism, communion, and marriage, in habits of prayer, the study of thy word, and in service with Bible-believing Sunday schools and churches. Empower our lives to witness for thee and to influence our fellow man toward the cross. Amen." You'll never make it, friend, without communication, without prayer. Now visit with me as your evangelist. Along this altar, it stretches from Portugal and Spain to Okinawa and Thailand. Feel with me the power and authority of this seeking and exercise of faith. The Holy Spirit, the unerring guide, is closing in upon one of us here with a designated moment from the captain of our salvation himself. A dear and loving man at this long, long altar knows that he should not delay in making his will. And in including in that will and testament a designated amount for the preaching of the gospel by those who long since have proven trustworthy servants of Jesus. Now, sir, you have delayed and delayed and delayed. And that is exactly what the enemy would have you do. And since none know the hour or the day, your residence on earth can terminate and God's kingdom will suffer and souls lost because you neglected to make your will as the Spirit urged. That will be counted as a high crime and misdemeanor by heaven. So be obedient to the Spirit. Complete that piece of business immediately. Feel the pleasure of God towards you for faithfulness as his steward. I know I've carried the Lord's message to you, mister, and I thank you in his name for your obedience. Yes, this is the meeting. It is a fellowship of believers. We never ask to see your certificate. We want to see your Christ. So we mingle, every color, under all circumstances, without quarreling about creeds. Amid many habits of dress, we come together at this time around the throne, and I'm so glad that you could be with us. And together we testify that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, so spread the word.